Let's, Corey, start with you and the team on the field. This is a pretty impressive roster. A lot of top Kansas City prospects on this roster. Tell us a little bit about some of the names people are going to see as they come out to the ballpark this year.
You're absolutely right. Overall on this roster, you have 11 of the top 27 prospects in the Kansas City Royals organization. You look around minor league baseball, you just don't see that. You see maybe 3 to 5, maybe a little bit more, but to have 11 on one roster, it's really exciting. It's headlined by Brady Singer, the Royals' first overall pick in last year's draft out of the University of Florida. And then they really stocked up on college pitchers after Singer. They picked up Singer's teammate, Jackson Kowar, who was with the Gators. They've been roommates since college. Daniel Lynch, the University of Virginia product. Those three really spearheaded the draft, and they're all now going to be part of the starting rotation. And then, of course, you have some returners like Daniel Tillo, who's a top 30 prospect, and then Nolan Watson, who was a first-round pick by the Royals back in 2015. So four of the five starting pitchers potentially are first-round picks, which is mind-boggling if you just think about it. Position players, MJ Melendez is the catcher, a very highly touted catching prospect. He's a top 10 catching prospect in all of minor league baseball. He's worked with Salvador Perez, who's been a perennial all-star for the Royals, a former Blue Rock as well. Nick Prado is the fifth best prospect in this system. He was the Royals' first overall pick 2 years ago in the 2017 draft out of high school. And then you look around, Sulian Batias out in right field, a Dominican Republic native. He signed for over $2 million when he was a teenager, hit 31 home runs in just 94 games last year, a remarkable, powerful hitter, and Kyle Isbell, and also an outfielder. He's very pesky out of UNLV, a third-round pick in this last year's draft. Up and down this lineup, this roster, it's absolutely talented.
You mentioned that this is highly unusual. Is there a sense that these guys are likely to stay for a good part of the season, particularly since a number of them are very recent draft picks, or is it more of a sense that these guys might move very quickly if they get off to a good start?
I think it really depends on what Kansas City wants to do with them and depending on how these players develop. I don't think they would move them all up together. I think it's more so, hey, if player A is pitching lights out, we're going to move them up to double A because they want to develop them and not stunt their growth. But there's nothing that says they're keeping this group together, but from the outside looking in, a lot of people around baseball think this is the next group for Kansas City to win a world championship.
A lot of times it is nice to move those guys along as a group and let them kind of develop together, right?
Absolutely. We were talking to some of the players and the manager, Scott Thorman. They really built chemistry down in Lexington last year when they won the championship. And some of those players, like a Daniel Lynch, a Jackson Kowar, they didn't join the team until later on in the season. So you're joining a new team, a new family, so to speak, and to just blend right in, mesh, and then really help them win a championship. It says a lot about the character of these players.
You mentioned the manager, Scott Thorman. He is new, but his coaching staff, familiar names to at least some Blue Rocks fans, right?
Absolutely. Steve Luber, the pitching coach, for sure. He's been here for a long time. He spent the previous 2 years up in AA Northwest Arkansas, back down here with Wilmington to really work hands-on with this talented pitching core that we mentioned. And then, Scott Thorman, first-year manager here. He's been around. He played in the Carolina League. And then the hitting coach, Larry Sutton, he still holds the single-season record for most home runs in a season with 26 back in the early 90s. I met him for the first time. He's a pleasant gentleman. Really looking forward to working with the staff, and certainly recognizable faces for these fans when they come.
I'll betray my age. I was here when Larry Sutton hit those home runs covering the Blue Rocks. So that tells you a little bit about how long I've been around with this team, and it's great to see him back and some of these familiar names. I want to move over to kind of the off-the-field portion of this. And Jason, let's bring you in now. One of the things that's been remarkable, I think, about this team is its ability to kind of maintain consistency with attendance. I mean, over the entire life of this franchise, always around the top, if not at the top of Carolina League in attendance, and pretty steady in terms of the numbers, upper 200,000 to 300,000 fans per year. How important is that to the organization to be able to show that kind of consistency on a regular basis to keep these fans coming out year after year?
It's super important. Like Corey was saying, we have great talent on the field this year, but that's something that we don't really control. It's more of a Kansas City Royals thing. So we try to make sure that every single fan has a great time here. Whether the Blue Rocks lose or win on the field, we're doing promotions in between innings. We're doing something different every day of the week, trying to make sure that people have a good time and want to come back.
I want to go back to you for a second, Corey. How important is it for those players to have that kind of atmosphere here at the ballpark at this level, even if their time here is short-lived?
I think it plays a huge part into playing in front of a large crowd. You go to some different leagues at the same level, and they're drawing barely 1,000 fans. So I feel like players definitely thrive off of it, feed off the energy, and we have some of the most passionate fans in all of minor league baseball, and you mentioned the numbers. They come out year after year, and we couldn't be more thankful.
And Jason, you mentioned promotions. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's one of the things, obviously, is a big draw to fans. What are some of the key promotions people should be looking forward to this season?
We're bringing back some fan favorites, like the Dogfish Head Beer 30 Thursday. We're doing fireworks every Friday night here at Frawley Stadium. And then we have some new things like Dog Days on Tuesdays. So every Tuesday, fans can bring their dogs. Dogs get in free. We're also doing dollar hot dogs and some drink specials as well. So trying to do something different every day of the week and really make sure that people have a good time here.
How about some of the one-offs, the giveaways, the appearances, any of those that you want to highlight for people?
Absolutely. We're doing some really fun bobbleheads this year. We're doing a Rocky Skywinkle bobblehead on our Star Wars night, so a little playoff of Luke Skywalker. Bringing in some celebrities like the actor who played Al Borland on Home Improvement, John O'Hurley, who played Jay Peterman on Seinfeld, Jake the Snake Roberts for some wrestling fans, as well as the actor who played Smalls in The Sandlot.
And I guess the other thing that is this year on the weekends, you're opening the gates a half hour early for fans on Saturdays and Sundays. What was the rationale behind giving them a little bit more time in the stadium before the game?
Exactly. Yeah, we've heard some feedback that fans really like to enjoy batting practice. So especially with the talented roster we have this year, we thought it'd be nice to let fans come in a little earlier, see the guys on the field practicing a little more before the game.
Anything else that's new at the ballpark that people might not recognize if they were out here last year?
Yeah, so food, we have Chickies and Pete's and Grotto, which are coming back again, but we also have Baltimore Crab Cake Company. So bringing in some crab cakes to the ballpark, they're really good. They came in for samples and the staff went crazy, so we think the fans are really going to enjoy that.
You know, for someone who hasn't been to a Blue Rocks game before and maybe coming out for the first time this year, do you have any advice for them about maybe the for lack of a better term, best practices for enjoying your first time out at a Blue Rocks game?
I think just the minor league experience is pretty great. You know, I'd recommend get here early, go get some autographs from the players before the game. You can get right up next to the field and meet the guys. These are the guys you might be seeing in the big leagues in a few years. So it's pretty cool to have that really close, intimate experience here at Frawley Stadium that you can't necessarily get in the big leagues.